Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you this morning. Lovely to have your company. And I hope you've got a copy of the order of service in front of you. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving power among the nations. And so we come to a song of creation. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all people on earth. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. O people of God, bless the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you priests of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all you of upright spirit. Bless the Lord, you that are holy and humble in heart.
Bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Sing his praise and exalt him forever. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Well, our first reading this morning comes from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things, in heaven and on earth, under Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning is Psalm 85, beginning at the 8th verse. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Amen. And our second reading comes from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, carrying on from last week, beginning at verse 14. King Herod heard about all that Jesus was doing, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he's Elijah. And still others claimed, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested and had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it was a bit of a toss-up. This morning, I could either speak about John the Baptist having his head cut off or on one of the most sublime passages of Scripture. What a choice. So I've plumped for our Ephesians reading. In the original Greek, these verses constitute one single sentence. As Paul dictates this letter to the church in Ephesus, the words just seem to pour out of his mouth. He neither pauses for breath or uses full stops. It is a passage full of praise. Paul begins by blessing God for blessing us with every possible blessing. And then he continues to try and unpack them all. You'll be relieved to know that I'm not going to try and do the same, but I would like us to look at verses 5 to 8 and to explore what it means to have the blessing of adoption. My mother was adopted before the Adoption Act. She was left on a doorstep. She didn't have a birth certificate or know anything about where she had come from. And at times that was hard. But she knew that in all probability, her life would have been much harder had she not been taken in. I have a couple of very good friends who have adopted children, and I have witnessed at first hand the extraordinary love and care they have given to their adopted family, sometimes at huge cost and sacrifice. And in my own family, we have children who are not being brought up by their natural parent. And the thing is, you would never know. They look so alike. They are so well bonded. In verses 4 and 5, Paul says, "For God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." Let's hear that again. "For God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." Paul reminds us that it is God's pleasure and will for us to be fully adopted sons and daughters through our Lord Jesus Christ. He destined us in love. He chose us in love. God loves us. He is totally concerned for our welfare, and it is his great love which motivates him to adopt us as sons and heirs and characterizes us as God's children. One of the things that people found shocking about Jesus was that he called God Father. In this chapter of Ephesians, Paul has already described God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now Paul is reminding us of the great privilege and joy that those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ can also call God Father. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to know that God is our Father, my Father. I can call him Abba, Daddy. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. As with all spiritual blessings, this is only made possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive the Spirit of the Son, then we become sons ourselves. This is not just that we become children of God, sons and daughters, but we become heirs. In the New Testament, adoption had its background not in Roman law, but in Jewish custom. The Jewish custom was that when a person was adopted, they received all the benefits of the family, all of them. The status of the person who was adopted changed forever. They possessed all the family rights, including inheritance. And so do we. As an adopted son, we claim all the rights of being a child of God, including access to our Father, and we share with Jesus a divine inheritance. Robert and I have rewritten our wills recently. It gave us some joy to think how our children would benefit from what we have. Actually, it also made us smile to think of what they would do with all the old toot. But I remember the times when I have received an inheritance. It's so special. Being on the receiving end of an inheritance can make a real difference to your life. The chance of a holiday, a new car, a mortgage. And it's not just the big things, but the little things too. A watch, a ring, a vase, an ornament can bring daily joy and treasured memories. They are a reminder of being loved. But what Paul is describing is so much more than that. What he is describing is not just about us as individuals. It's about us together, the church. I find that a humbling and deeply moving thought. God has chosen us, you and me, to be the church here in this place, in rural Devon, in 2021, in the middle of a global pandemic. He has chosen us to worship together this morning. God has chosen us together, the church, to be sons and heirs, which will result in our resurrection transformation into the likeness of Jesus. It's the thing we pray for. I do every week, that we will be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It is the thing we yearn for and hope for. And one day when the whole of creation is restored, we will become fully like Jesus and as heirs be able to claim our inheritance, which is, as Peter describes in his first letter, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. What a gift. What an inheritance. May we know the freedom and joy of being an adopted child, a son, with God as our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Let's turn quietly to prayer, and as the adopted children of God, the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, the brothers and sisters of Christ, let us pray in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ to the Father, who is our God of love. God of love, hear our prayer. We pray for the unity of the Church in witness and proclamation of the gospel. God of love, hear our prayer. We pray for the peace and stability of all peoples and for the leaders of the nations. God of love, hear our prayer. We pray for all places of work, of education, and places of leisure. God of love, hear our prayer. And we pray for a blessing on our homes, for our relations and friends, and all whom we love. God of love, hear our prayer. We pray too for all the sick and the suffering, especially Jacques, Jen, Catherine and Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, and Alan, Roy, Christine, Mike, Aileen, Rosemary, Richard, Ali, Maurice and Ron. We pray for these and others known to us, for all who are unwell or in any kind of need, and all who minister to their needs. God of love, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the lives of those who have gone before us into heaven. We give thanks especially for those who have recently departed this life, especially Prissy Holwell, Vivian Bolt, Roy Weber, and others known to us. We pray that they may rest in peace, and we pray for all who grieve, that they may know the hope of Christ. God of love, hear our prayer. And lastly, let us commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the collect for today. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let's join together in the words that Jesus himself taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been lovely to have your company. And just a reminder that this week's coffee morning is taking place in person at Bridwell Park for those who would like to be there at 10. I understand that Janet and Stephen will be there from 10 o'clock and everyone is very welcome to go to that. And we'll be back on Zoom for the coffee morning the following week.
It's lovely to have you all with us this morning.
Yeah. And enjoy the day.
Yeah.
If you're like us watching the tennis, followed by football, yeah. 3 hours for the shirts, you know.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Have a great day. God bless.